welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I believe the Bible is the ultimate resource for life, even when we fail, to obey what it teaches, to apply what it says to our life. In fact, one of the things the Bible teaches us is what to do when we fail, and to warn us that we are capable of failure and will fail. And for me, this gives me hope as a Christian, because I know I fail, and I want to know that I'm not alone, that this is something that is common to all disciples of Jesus Christ, and the Bible gives us teaching in what to do with it, how to respond. So yesterday, we looked at the example of two different disciples of Jesus who failed. One was Peter. Peter, the great leader of the Christian church, the close disciple of Jesus, but then also Judas. And Judas, we know, is infamous for betraying Jesus. So these are two disciples who failed Jesus. Peter failed him by denying that he even knew Jesus when Jesus was standing trial and was about to be executed. I mean, talk about, you know, think how insulted you would be if your best friend denied that he even knew you. He was all friendly with you one moment. He was saying he would die with you rather than to deny you. And now that you're on trial, now that you've been arrested, now that you've been falsely accused and people are trying to put you to death, your friend is nowhere to be found, and he's telling everyone he never knew you. So this is an act of betrayal. It is failure. But Peter sticks around. Peter pursues Jesus. He hears Jesus has risen from the dead. Peter is the one who, when he sees the risen Lord, he jumps out of the boat and swims to the shore to be with Jesus. He understands that he is a failure. He understands that he was wrong to declare his own strength and say, I will never disown you, Jesus. And he's willing to run to Jesus, even having done that, even though he is embarrassed about his behavior, even though he's sorrowful for his behavior. But he comes to Jesus because he knows Jesus loves him. He knows Jesus has the power to forgive him. He knows Jesus will restore him. And Jesus does go on to use Peter in a powerful way. Judas, on the other hand, is very sorry for what he's done. He says, I have betrayed innocent blood. He knows he's done wrong. He's full of remorse. He throws the money back at the chief priest who gave him the money to betray Jesus. But then he goes out and he hanged himself, the Bible says. You see, he avoids Jesus. He says, I must not be worthy of being a follower of Jesus after what I've done. Jesus will never have anything to do with me now. And don't you see, that insults Jesus. That says, I have too much pride to face Jesus after what I've done, and I don't think Jesus could possibly still love me. That's a further insult to Jesus, to say he cannot love you anymore. No, Jesus is capable of loving the greatest sinners, including you, including even Judas. But Judas did not truly repent. Judas went out and escaped. He ran away. You know, there are different ways that we escape sometimes. You know, if you have sinned, you've failed, you're embarrassed about your sin, you want to stop going to church, maybe. Or maybe you kind of stop praying, or you kind of shut your Bible, and you're really just not wanting to seek after God as much because you're embarrassed about what you've done. Understand that that's your pride getting in the way. You've got to humble yourself, and understand that Jesus' love for you is greater than that. You can run to Jesus and say, Jesus, I've failed again. Will you forgive me? And he is faithful and just and will forgive. You know, this lesson is taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Paul writes here, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Judas had worldly sorrow. He knew he did wrong. He was sorry about it. He wished he hadn't done it. But he didn't turn to God. He said, I'll just check out. I'll just go away from Jesus. I'll just go and hang myself. Peter had godly sorrow. He had the kind of sorrow because he had the right view of God, that God is loving, that God is capable of forgiving, that he knows that he was never worthy of Jesus. So when he's failed, he doesn't say, well, I guess now I'm not worthy. No, he says, I was never worthy. I'm a failure, but Jesus loves me. Jesus will use me. Jesus will forgive me. He runs to Jesus. That's having the right view of God. That's godly sorrow that leads to repentance. So we have looked at a lot of scripture this week about failure. One of the main things to take away from what I've been saying is don't use this as an excuse to sin. Don't say, well, failure is a common experience in the Christian life. Therefore, when I'm really tempted to do something I know is wrong, I can just give in and do it because, you know, people fail. And so this will just be one of those times I fail. No. The reason the Bible has this lesson and the reason why I've been sharing this with you is so that you won't fail. It's that you need to recognize that failure is something that can happen, yes, even to you, and therefore you should be on the guard all the more to keep watch, as Jesus told his disciples in the garden, so that you will keep your focus on God's word. The Joshua 1:8 promise is keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. In other words, if you start thinking, well, I've already got all this Bible stuff. I already know the gospel. I already, I'm one of the best people in Sunday school class at my church, so I don't need to worry about it. You're going to fail. You've got to keep the book of the law always on your lips. You've got to keep thinking about it, keep studying it, keep meditating on it. That's how you stay connected to Christ. That's how, recognizing that apart from that connection, you're going to fail. That's how you persist and don't fail. Now, there will be times you don't do that. There will be times you fail. But because the Spirit of Jesus is in you, that means you want to fail as little as possible. And so this is a warning to you, a call to be all the more persistent in being in God's Word and being connected to Him. And seeking after Him so that you can minimize that. But ultimately, our hope is not in ourselves. It's in Jesus Christ and His resurrection. By this we are saved. Our spirit has already been made alive with Christ as He was resurrected from the dead. The Bible says one day our body will physically rise from the dead, will be given a new body with no more effects of sin. And then we will be able to worship God perfectly forever and ever without failure. And so I look forward to that day. I hope you are paying attention to what the Bible says so that you can pursue Him and are looking forward to that day as well. Let me close with a few thoughts. If you are struggling with a particular issue, maybe an addiction, maybe an area in your life you just keep failing and you're not sure why or you don't know how to overcome it, that is why God gives us the Bible, and that's why He gives people the ability to teach God's Word in a special way to help address those problems. So I am talking right now about biblical counseling. Our church offers free Christian counseling as part of a ministry of our church. And so if you would like to take advantage of that, have someone walk with you step by step how the Bible says you can overcome this area in your life that keeps getting a hold of you, then try out free biblical counseling. The number to call is 803-943-8237. That's 943-8237. I also like every week to encourage you to go to church this Sunday. That's part of how you keep the Word on your lips always. That's how you keep thinking about it. You meet with other believers who are trying to follow God's Word. You hear good Bible-based teaching in the sermon. You sing about the truths of God's Word. You worship God with other believers. This is part of how God will help you stay the course that He is teaching you to go on in being prosperous and successful. We have an 11 o'clock service at Fairfax First Baptist Church in Fairfax, and also the 9 o'clock service in Luray is at Beach Branch Baptist Church. I preach at both those services. I'd love to meet you there. The number one more time for information about any of these things is 943-8237. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.